Back to our series that we're going to conclude today. It's these steps that our Heavenly Father have pointed out to us in the Scriptures are there to help us move from that tunnel that is dark and the journey that sometimes we find ourselves on, and heavily finding the emotion of depression, something we're holding on to rather than letting go. He has given us these steps because he wants to encourage us. He wants to lift us up. He wants us to see it through and learn from it, mature through it. But he wants us to change from this fleshly response that we can have so often when we find ourselves on this journey. So five steps to navigating loss. The first step that we looked at 2 weeks ago was help them release their grief. Those of us that are not presently in a season of grief or loss, to be listening more carefully now so that we might be used by him to come alongside the brother, the sister that is really troubled. There are some people that when they go through a loss, they have all kinds of emotions like were listed there in page one. Loss, anger, fear, depression, worry. And sometimes there is this guilt, this shame that we find ourselves in. But our Lord wants us to get rid of these things. He doesn't want us to hold on to them. Oftentimes, there are people that are stuffers. I think I was a stuffer before I told you about those two Christian counselors that kind of just pulled me out of the crowd and I spent a lot of time with discovering what was bothering me. So some of these people won't let go of these deep, dark emotions, and I call them stuffers because I know what a stuffer's like. Some of these people will hold on to this person that they're upset about who passed away, or this person who hurt them, or the loss of their job, or the fact that the doctor gave them a really poor medical report. With these things going on, and instead of releasing their guilt, they're going to stuff it down. Some of us have held on to these things for as much as 30 years because I'm speaking for myself. And I shared those things with you 2 weeks ago. The second step comes after we realize what Jesus told us in Matthew's gospel in chapter 5 when he had all those people on that mountain by the Sea of Galilee. He gave the Beatitudes and he told them, blessed, happy are those who mourn. Really? Those who mourn? Yeah, happy are those who mourn because they will be comforted. That's the beauty of our Heavenly Father. Abba, when he adopted you, he just didn't say, hey, you're one of so many. He said, I love you, I love you, I love you. Personally, it's between you and me. It's like there aren't any others, yet you have lots of brothers and sisters, but I am concerned with you. Whatever it is you're going through, even if it's sin that you're mourning over, I love you. And I'm going to come alongside and I am going to comfort you. With that in mind, then the second step is we need to encourage them to receive help from others. Help this person who has stuffed this loss and to help them come along and want to receive help from other people. Lots of times when we're hurting, we just want to be left alone. And some of us want to be left alone for a very long, long, long time. And that's not helpful to you. It's not even healthy for you. Because when you decide you're not going to be around these people that love you, you're probably I don't know for certain, but I know in my own life and in the lives of people I've counseled, they also do not include themselves in a DPE every day. That deep personal experience, that gnosko time of getting intimate with the Lord Jesus. Not only do they write off you who are the friends, they write off our wonderful Savior. That's not healthy. And on top of that, Abba would tell us, I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to do that. In fact, he told us through the Apostle Paul, as you'll remember, in Galatians 6:2, he said, I want you to bear with one another. I want you to come alongside this person who has this loss, this heavy, heavy, oppressive weight that they're carrying right now. And I want you to come alongside them. I want you to take that weight off of them as much as they'll let you, and thus fulfill the law of Christ. And that we know to be giving his wonderful agape love to this person who really needs it now. You're going to be seeking their very best, their highest and greatest good, and it's at your expense. You want to make whatever sacrifice is necessary to come alongside this person who is right now in this deep tunnel of grief. We need to be helping each other with troubles. The fact is, and here's your fill-in, when people go through seasons of loss, they need the support and perspective of others. I think that's already in there for you. Let's move on to step three. In step three, we're supposed to show these folks that are suffering a loss how to fight against bitterness. Bitterness is a terrible poison that people allow into their lives, and it just makes them miserable. And not only are they the ones that are miserable, oftentimes, and it's unfair, oftentimes because they're miserable, because they're bitter, they're going to make their spouse bitter and hurtful too. The spouse hasn't done anything wrong. The kids haven't done anything wrong. The best friend hasn't done anything wrong. But this person who has stuffed all this emotion down in there is bitter and mad and angry, and there's no containing this person, because they first need to be approached, and they need to be loved on. They need to be convinced that they need to let go of this hurt that they have. There are two words that have become symbols in my life. One word is bitter. The other is better. Bitter has had B-I-T-T-E-R. That I, that reminds me of what I've taught you so many times over the years, of that unholy trinity, the me, myself, and I. And the reason we're bitter is because our focus is on the I. It's on yourself. And where our focus goes, our what goes? Right. And so our focus is in a negative direction on ourselves instead of going in the better. Because better is B-E-T-T-E-R. And that E is symbolic to me of encouraged. I would rather be being encouraged than over here being bitter. And our Heavenly Father wants us to walk as his kids, knowing that he's crazy about you. He loves you very much. He's not going to abandon you during this tunnel you find yourself in, but he's going to be bringing help. The Holy Spirit is going to be bringing your brothers and your sisters in Christ alongside to help pull you out, to get you to where you are getting better and moving away from being bitter. Last week, I shared with you that I wanted you to think of 100 things, and some of you kind of giggled, 100 things that you're grateful for. And as we started doing that. I led with the illustration, and I only got to about 30 when we all stopped, when we could see how thinking about 100 things and firing them off all at once, that move a frown to a smile. You think about the things that you're grateful for, and you won't be bitter. I shared with you last week as well, a person cannot be grateful and depressed at the same time. And I asked you every morning when you got up to go and either look in the mirror or sit on the edge of your bed and 7 times simply repeat, a person cannot be grateful and depressed at the same time. I can't be grateful and depressed at the same time. And we did that 7 times. And all of you had smiles on your faces last week. These are little lessons to learn. We have far more to be grateful for than that which are losses in our life. And everybody's going to have a loss. Those of us that are called to come alongside other people and be of help, we've already suffered that loss. And we can be the example to our friend now, our brother, our sister. We can tell them how Jesus was faithful to walk through this time with us. And during our DPE, our deep personal experience time with the Lord, he was there. And he was there in spades. I mean, he was there to be a tremendous encouragement to us. But you see, family, you have to do these things to see him work. And far too many times, I'm up here on a Sunday morning and the Holy Spirit is saying, write this prescription, write this prescription, write this prescription, but you don't go to the spiritual doctor and get them filled. If you don't get them filled, you can't take them. They won't be a benefit to you. So I encourage you that you take the action steps and these things that he helps me to put forward to myself first and then to you to do. So I want you to fight against bitterness because he wants you to fight against bitterness. And I encourage you to receive help from other people and let them help you to release grief. At least let the Holy Spirit allow you to release your grief. It's not doing you any good. And just thinking a little bit about bitterness again, oftentimes that gets hooked onto a human being. It's a person or a group of people. Look, those people aren't thinking about you and why you're bitter today. They don't even care that you're bitter. They might even have moved out of state. They might have died. So what's the point? It's doing you no good. In fact, you're going to end up hurting someone else besides yourself. And you know the Lord wouldn't want you to do that. Step number 4. Remind them what's important. Remind them what is important. Now, I think in your message notes under bitterness, I completed that last time, but not all the blanks were filled in. So look to someone to the right or left of you who actually took notes if that wasn't filled in for you. What's important? You know, losses and tragedies have a way of putting many things, when they happen, into perspective. They clarify your values and help you to understand oftentimes your priorities. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 15, you see it there in your notes? Let's read that together, shall we? Let's read it aloud. And he said to them, stop there. Who's the he? Who? Jesus, that's right. Now, what's the point of my asking that? As we read it, I want you to be really listening because he's the one who's talking to you. He's the one who has this to say to you. Okay? So let's read from the beginning again. And Jesus said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Your life does not. Jesus is telling you this, not me. Jesus is saying the abundance of your possessions, your house, if you lose it, what are you going to be all worried about? You see, I've been able to live in the house I live in for 26 years. And when we signed the mortgage, there was nothing on there from the company that we signed with to have the mortgage. Or was there a word from Jesus saying we were going to get to live there 26 years? It might go away. He's telling us here that your life doesn't consist in the abundance of a car. You might have an old classic car. I mean, I drove an old classic car for 18 years. It wasn't my intent to make it classic. It was just that I couldn't afford another car. Your bank account can go away. Kathy and I have shared with you, we were $10,000 shy just weeks before the turn of the century of $1 million that we had saved and that we had received from family passing away and bequeathing stocks to us and things like that. But Y2K came and we were trusting in this financial counselor and every single penny of it went away. Now, you did not hear Ron jump up and go like Job, you know, "The Lord gives, the Lord takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord." Yes, I would give him the credit that he gave it, and I'll give him the credit that he chose to take it away. But my question was, why? But I didn't get bitter. I suffered a tremendous loss. Tremendous loss. Our entire life savings. But the Lord is good. All the time. He gave us faith in replacement of 900,900, all that money. We live by faith. I didn't have to live by a whole lot of faith back then. But you can be quite sure we live by faith now. So, covetousness, we need to be careful. Covetousness is talking about greed. Possessions don't bring you a fullness of life. It is our Heavenly Father who brings you the fullness of life. He and He alone. So watch out and guard yourselves for every kind of greed, because a person's true life is not made up of the things that he or she may have had, no matter how many or much of it there was. The fact is this, and here's your fill-in. It's easy to confuse our net worth with our self-worth at times. But there is a big difference between the two. Your net worth is what you put your cars and your house and your stock portfolios and all that together and add it up, and that's your net worth. But it's not your self-worth. What is your self-worth valued at? Somewhere, I mean, what would it take to buy you? I think it would take $650 trillion to buy Damien. But do you know what our Heavenly Father says Damien's worth? Exactly. And why is it priceless? Because Jesus paid for Damien's life. And each of yours. So, if you start bemoaning the fact that you lost your life savings, or you don't have what someone else has, or you frittered away and you're bummed about that. Okay, be bummed about it, but let it go. Let it go. Our Lord is the one that is the highest priority, or should be, in our lives. Jesus was willing to die for us. The action step I have here for you, during a season of loss, it's important to clarify what really matters. Your relationship to Jesus Christ and God the Father and the Holy Spirit is of most importance and has the highest value, because their value is infinite. Infinite. So release the grief. Receive help from others. Fight against bitterness. And think through what is really important in life. Step 5. Teach them to rely on Jesus. Oh yeah. Yeah. The prophet Isaiah, you see that passage there, Isaiah 41, verse 13? Oh, I love this. I love it. He says, "For I, who am I? The Lord, your God." You know, he's talking to the Israelites here in the passage, but he's now talking to all of us. He says, "I'm the Lord, your God. Hold your, and I'm holding on to your right hand. I'm here for you. I will never desert you. I am with you always, even to the end of the age, the end of eternity. I am with you. It is I who say to you." Ooh, you listening? It's God who has something to say to you. He's been saying it to me all week, but now you get to listen to it and have your feelings. He says, "Fear not, fear not. I am the one who helps you. If you lose your savings, if you got a bad report from the doctor, fear not." Why? Because I'm with you. Do you believe I am the Lord your God? Do you believe He's the Lord your God? Do you really believe it? Then why do we get all in a tizzy and find ourselves getting bitter and going crazy and so forth when we suffer loss? Because we're in the flesh when that thing hits us. And we don't go to the Lord. We withdraw again. We're not finding ourselves wanting to be in our DPE. When we suffer a tremendous loss, the first place I recommend that we all go is to our DPE, our deep personal experience with Jesus. That's where we go. We don't go to the "oh, woe's me" club. All you're going to hear is "oh, woe's me" from these people. What a downer. And what a downer to be around people that constantly want to live in that tunnel of loss. When the Lord is saying, "Come on out. I'm here for you. I want to make the differences in your life that you need. I love you, for crying out loud." He's telling us, "Fear not, I am the one who will help you. God will strengthen you. God will be the one who encourages you. If necessary, Jesus will stand there, you in your armor, and defend you. Don't forget you have this all-knowing, all-powerful, ever-present, always loving you, God. That Holy Spirit never, ever leaves the presence of your being. Say with me, Abba, Father, you're so good. Abba, Father, you're so good. Now tell him, Abba, Father, you're so good. Oh, amen, amen. Paul teaches us the secret to dealing with grief in Philippians chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. You see it there in your notes? Follow along. Paul says, I know how to be brought low. I know how to get depressed. I know how to abound, be just as happy as I can be. In any and every circumstance, good, bad, ugly, I have learned the secret to facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. Paul, how is it that you can do this? What does it say next? Let's read it aloud. I can do all things through who? Who's he? Jesus, right? I can do all things through him who strengthens me. No matter what the situation, I have learned the secret of how to live when I am full, when I am hungry, when I have too much, and when I have too little. Because I have this fabulous, marvelous friend who is my brother. But more importantly, he is my God. And he is my Savior and my Redeemer. And he has promised always to be with me through the best and through the worst. Whatever it is, he's with me. It can't get better than that, family. It can't be better than that. Fear not. I am the one who helps you, Isaiah said. The Holy Spirit, through Paul, points you and he points me to Jesus. To Jesus. You see, we should be the progenitors of a church, even the size that we are, to the mega churches that point the people not to this charismatic preacher that they have, but to the Lord Jesus Christ in an intimate relationship with him. That's where the church needs to be. You see, the church is the bride of his. It's not Ron's. It's not any other preacher's, no matter how big or small the church may be. He is the one we should be closest to. We're the bride of Christ. Well, as you look at your notes, he is the light in the midst of this dark journey. So our overall action step is this. People who are grieving need to learn these additional three things. One, lean on Jesus for stability. Lean on Jesus for your stability. Maybe you were leaning on your dad and your dad passed away. Maybe you were leaning on your stepdad and he passed away. I'm going through my family. My mom, as you all know, she just recently passed to be with Jesus. My other brother, Donnie, he went to be with Jesus. Those who brought stability in my life, they're now gone. I need Jesus because Kelly, he's no help to me at all. You didn't know that was coming, did you? Lean on Jesus for stability, or Kelly. Listen to Jesus for direction, family. Listen to Jesus for his direction. He's given us here five steps to overcoming this loss. We need to rest in the hope that Jesus has a plan for our future. Our Lord has direction. When he took away my former career, he had a plan for me. He had a plan for me. I didn't know what it was, but developing my DPE with him, he revealed to me where he is leading me to seminary. And the third thing is, look to Jesus for salvation. Look to Jesus for salvation. Many people are more open to the good news, this wonderful gospel of our Savior, at times of loss and grief than at most any other time. Helping people deal with seasons of loss is an important part of your present ministry in this world. This is an important part of your ministry, helping people in a season of loss, because we've all been there. There's nothing new under the sun. It is not your job, however, to explain all the tragedies of life, but you can give them, these people who are in the midst of what they perceive to be a tragedy, these people who are in the midst of grief, you can be the one that comes alongside and follows these steps, and you offer them optimism. Who can't be hopeful in the Lord? You come alongside them and you offer them a reason to be positive about this thing that's taken place. Every tremendous negative season I have found myself in or have walked in with Kathy, he has brought about the positive at the end. Not because of anything we said or did, other than the fact that we, in faith, relied deeply, deeply upon Jesus. So you're the one who can bring optimism, a positive outlook. You can be the encourager in their life. And therefore, our Heavenly Father will use you to be his hope in their life, using you, point them to the Savior. Get it? Good. Let's pray. Father, thank you very much for this short series. I'm grateful that you brought it by me. I wish I'd known it more intimately in the more recent losses that you have asked myself to navigate. But nonetheless, I'm grateful that we have been taught by you some tremendous lessons to help each other with our past, our present, and our future. Because in just saying those three words, we remember that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are the lover of our souls. You are the most wonderful Heavenly Father. You could not be more wonderful. And we are assured of wherever we find ourselves on whatever day of the week, whatever time of the day, there you are, holding on to us, holding our right hand, so to speak. wanting us to depend on you. So, Father, may you use my church family in supernatural, wonderful ways in the lives of people that they know or will come in contact with, who are hurting, who are navigating a loss. For I ask this in the name of the greatest, greatest Redeemer ever, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.